We are finishing off tonight the Simen Kuf Tes Vav, the sugyas of Chalav, Gvina, and Chemas Akum. We discussed at great length Chalav Akum, we discussed the Heter of Moshe. Last night we discussed Gvinas Akum and the different Heterim for that as well. That too wasn't it was a machlokas whether or not we accepted such a practice. Most communities accept the practice of Gvinas Akum as Usur, and you should have to watch the milking plus the making of the trees. We did discuss a couple of heterim. So now we're going to discuss Sif Gimel, which is the din of chema, butter, cream cheese, cream, and that type. And we'll discuss some other examples of this. So the Mechaber writes, HaChema shel Ovid Kochavim, butter made by non-Jew, ein mochin la'anshe makom shenogim milheter. Don't make a big deal to those places and people who practice such a leniency. Vim robnei hamakom nagin iser. If most people of a certain community are knowing that it's usser, ein l'shanos, they shouldn't change such a minag, meaning continue to practice whatever minag you have. Uvamakom shein minag, a place where it's a new community and there's no established minag, im bishla adshe halchu tichtzuche achalav muteris. If you cook the milk, the cheese, the butter in such a way where any of the remnants of milk that might be there, meaning any milk that might still remain after making the butter, by definition would be chalav tameh, because all chalav tahor would be curdling with all the other chalav tahor that's there. So any remaining milk chalav tameh would be liquid. So if you get to a point where you could burn it or perhaps pasteurize it in such a way where it evaporates, so then it would be mutter. So the Rama writes, Ga mutter levashal lechatchila. You're also allowed to be mevashal lechatchila. Kidei sheyelchu tzichtzuchei chalav, in order to have the leftover chalav tameh evaporate. Vimbishla oved kochavim muteris. And let's say a non-Jew does the cooking process in his own kalim, that's also muteris. Distam kalehem einam bnei yomam. If they're using their own kalim, we always assume, unless we know otherwise, we assume it had not been used the past 24 hours. So any blios, so any taste, chafe taste that might be there is considered nosin tam lifgam and won't negatively impact the cheese and the butter. Vim holech mimakom she'ein ochlin osa. L'makom she'ochlin osa. If you come from a place where they don't eat chema akum to a place where they do eat chema akum, ocha sham imahim. You're allowed to take on the practice of the community you move to. This is the sugyas in Pesachim, the fourth parak, about the makom shenagu. You go from a place that's a certain minag to a place that's a different minag, so you have to take the chumras of both makomos. The question is, why is this different? So it's seemingly talking about a situation where you've moved entirely. You've uprooted from the first community to go to a new community. You could take on that new minag. But if you're just visiting that second community, so then you would seemingly have to take on the previous practice of the community that you came from, that you're living in. Aval aser la via imo, you can't bring with you some of the chema akum ulachol b'makom shenogim ba'iser. You can't take with you, pack up some butter that was mutter. The community A you lived in, everything was mutter. So it's a chefster that shall heter. Now you want to bring it with you, packaged to the new community, it's aser, that's not allowed. That chefster shall gvina turned into a davar iser, even though you brought it when it was initially davar heter. Imlo yesh b'heker shia memekomos hamutarim. Unless it's like stamped on the cheese or the butter that this comes from community A where there's a heter, there has to be clear heker that it came from that place. If there is no heker, so then there's no heter. V'haholech mimakom shenogu bo heter lemakom shenogu sham iser. If you go from a place that was mutter to a place where now it's aser, aser la'ochla sham, you can't eat it in that place. And the yesh omer, we'll go through all the details and now after we finish this, it's so too if you bring from a place that's mutter to a place that's usur, nami asura afilu yeshba heker v'hachinag. So some say even if you do transport it, and if there is a good heker that comes from a place that is knowing a heter, that too, according to some, is going to be usur. Okay, so a lot going on here. So let's walk through first. Let's look at the Shach first. Normally I do the Taz first, but there's a very short Shach here on the Sifkat and Chavches. The Rama said that L'chachila, you're allowed to burn out any remnants of milk which might be Chalav Tameh. Why? Isn't that an Isser of Ein Mevalin Isser Lechachila? You're not allowed to do that. We discussed this last night. So the Shach explains, V'ein Zekim Mevatel Isser Lechachila. This does not qualify as being Mevatel Adavar Isser Lechachila. Why? D'shema Ein Kan Isser Klal. Perhaps there's no Isser here at all. You don't know that the non-Jew had placed Chalav Tameh. It's possible any of the remnants, any of the Chalav that's remaining in the butter might actually be Chalav Tahor. So it's a Suffolk. And therefore we see from here that you can be mevatlin Isalech Lecharchila b'makom Suffolk. The Ode writes the Shach, De'ein kavanasa levala, your intent is not to be mevatel it, rak sheyelchula hatzichtzuche chalav. You're just trying to evaporate it, not trying to be mevatel. There's a difference of being mevatel it versus having it evaporate. Be mevatel would be, let's say I have some milk that falls in chulin. I don't have shishim. I've got 1 to 50. So right now the chulin pot, the chulin is aser. It's bas b'chav. And I pour more meat in there till it's a point of 1 to 60. That's being mevatel the milk. The milk's in there. I'm just overwhelming the milk with more meat. I'm being mevatel. This case, I'm not being mevatel. I'm actually just removing the davar iser. I'm getting rid of it. That's allowed. And there's no concern here at all. Let's look now at the Taz, Sif Katan Yud Beis. So the Taz explains, in Hachema Shel Ovdei Chachavim, the butter made by non-Jew, Bechema Hekilu B'makom She'ein Chashash Iser. With regards to butter, they were very lenient, because there's no concern of a Davar Iser here. Dehainu, She'lechalav Tameh Pshita She'ein Lachush. There's no concern that the non-Jew had used pig milk. She'enu mamid, because non-kosher milk cannot transform into a cheese or a butter. Vim tim salomar she'ir ba tchila chalav tameh. Let's say they mixed initially, they put some pig milk with the cow milk. Kedei shlo lasus chema rak lachilas chalav. Let's say initially the non-Jew wanted to have milk. So they mixed together cow milk and pig milk. But then what happened? He changed his mind. So he said, you know what? I actually want to make butter out of this. So then he started processing it. So it's possible that he did mix them together initially because he didn't plan on making butter out of it. And now that he changed his mind, started making into butter. So there might be some pig milk in there. Mikol makom, even if that was the case and he changed his mind, kevan, dimivash l'mosa, since you end up having to cook it, you pasteurize it. I don't know if they had pasteurization back then, but there was some cooking part of the process. Halchu tzichtzuche chalav tameh sheyeshba. Through that process of boiling the chalav tameh, any pig milk that might be there is going to be completely evaporated. Umashlo halach, that whichever doesn't go, that which does not evaporate, v'nishar sham, remains there with the butter. Batel b'miuto, it's so small, it's batel. The afa gav de gavik gvinas asrinin b'samach. Even though the previous sif we said isn't gvina going to be aser, how come we're so maker when it comes to butter? Butter, we said everything's mutter. There's no concern of anything. So how come by cheese, the previous sif we said no lichachila, you shouldn't have cheese. Ah, but isn't cheese only come from kosher milk? So it should be the same halacha as chema. So he says that we're machmir by gvina afilu b'makom heter. Even if we know that they use vegetable type of enzymes, we still say gvina's us. What's the difference? So it says the Taz, shiny chema. Butter was different. The butter was not part of that initial takana of the gzera against gvina's akum. The gvina's akum was the only gzera, but butter was not included in that. So when the chacham made a gzera, they only made a gzera with regards to gvina's akum. So once they made a gzera gvina's akum, they said lo plug, it applies to all cheeses. But butter and cream was not part of that initial gzera. Okay, now look a little further in the, let's keep going in the Taz now. Ube iser v'heter nun teslim komos ha'osrim, lefi she'en nizharim milari ba iser v'karo she'en mekunachim, ube ma shekosir ramah mutav levash lechachila. Rama writes that lechachila, you're allowed to boil out the pig milk, api divrei Beis Yosef, te'en kam mevatel iser lechachila. We said this is not a case of being mevatel. She'en ha'kavana ela lechalos iser, you're just trying to remove the iser. Vim yishak tas derech mikra bata barov. And if any amount of pig milk remains, it's bata. So the Taz doesn't like this. He says, Timiasi, this doesn't make any sense to me. This is for sure considered mevalin isha l'chachila. Who says there's a difference of trying to extract the pig milk versus trying to be mevatel the pig milk? It's all being mevatel isha l'chachila. Kevin shu aser isha d'rabanan. He goes on to a whole discussion here. So it comes out a very important machlokas between the Taz and the Shach. The Taz ends up concluding that you cannot cook out the chalav tameh l'chachila. If it's b'dieved, if that happens, so then it's considered kosher. But you can't lichachil mevatel it. The Shach says, like the Ramah, you are able to mevatel the chalav tameh lichachila. So just an interesting machlokas, when you're trying to remove milk, the tameh, as opposed to being mevatel it, is removing considered being mevatel or not? Shach says that's not mevatel, but the Taz thinks that it is still considered mevatel, which case it means it's lichachila, one's not allowed to do this.
Any concerns with the absorption of the liquid into the kli itself? Does that make an issue? Is there a separate issue now with the kli, and if you can make the butter again without us or milk, is there a problem with that butter that is now in a kli that was absorbed?
From the any chalav tamei that might be there? I wouldn't think so, because as you continue to, it's a good question, but as you bake it, as you cook it rather, so along with the chalav tameh going into the kli, you also have chalav tahor going into the kli. I guess all mevatel that taste in the kalim. That's my guess. Okay. That's my guess.
Why do we think that the tameh milk is the one that's being evaporated as opposed to the other?
Because any chalav tahor, we assume, turned into the cheese and butter. But the Shach says we're not even sure. It's very possible that chalav tahor still can. I mean, that milk that's remaining might still be chalav tahor. Not every drop of milk turned into cheese, perhaps. I don't know how the process works. But he says, we don't even know if that milk that remained is from a pig or could be from a cow. It could be goat and pig milk, goat and cow milk, which are both, of course, kosher. It's possible maybe they turned to cheese at different stages, different heat temperatures. It's possible that cow milk turned to cheese and maybe the goat milk. But I really have no idea if that's the case or not. So either way, we see from here that when it comes to the mechaber, that as opposed to cheese, it was pretty prevalent custom that gvinas akum is usur, but chema really depends on a person's community and his practice. Now, the end of the Ramah had a whole fascinating discussion about bringing cheese from butter from this place to that place and back and forth. Just look at an interesting pische tshuva on the bottom, and then I'll go through some applications from where Forrest goes through. The pische tshuva on Sifkat and Tess. He quotes, he says, Lavia, so bringing butter from one place to the next. Ayin b'tshuvas no de behuda tinyana chelak yardaya simen tzabach dalet. Be'ach echad shehaya dirasa b'makom shenagu heter b'chema shov de kochavim. So let's say a guy lived in a community where they ate butter from a non-Jew. V'achreze, afterwards, kava dirasa b'makom shenagu, he moved to a different place, Isser, he went to a place where the practice was to not eat butter, chemas akum. V'hevi imo chema mimekom harisham. And he brought butter from the initial place, which is mutter, to now the new place. V'hora mora echad, there is one balhora, shemutter lo lechol chema hahi. You're allowed to bring that butter. Aren't you now in a community that says you can't have chemas akum? What's the proof that you could have that chema in this new place? So it's a fascinating raya he brings based on the sugyan chulin. The heavy raya me'agmar chulin yudzayin. You get there yet? Not yet? Okay, fine. Interesting sugya. So,
Friday,
okay. Evari basar nechira. What's basar nechira? I don't know what basar nechira is. You remember basar nechira?
Yeah. Stabbed.
Stabbed was referred to in the midbar before they were allowed to have the certain types of meat before they went into Eretz Yisrael. They didn't have to keep all these halachas of shechita and stuff. But what happens if they had some basar that wasn't shechted in the midbar and they brought it with them into Eretz Yisrael? Is that going to be mutter or aser? It was mutter at the time. It was shechted properly. Didn't need a real shechita at the time. Now they transported it inside to Eretz Yisrael. Is that allowed to be eaten? So that's the riot. So the Gemara says you are allowed to eat it. There is an interesting discussion. I didn't look up all the sources. There's a Rush and Rashi. I think the Rush discusses about meat during the 9 days. The Gilyan Ashas about this as well. That there's a discussion whether or not meat that you had prior to the 9 days, shechted properly, so now you bring it with you into the 9 days, there is a discussion that might be mutter to be eaten. Meaning the whole iser of the 9 days meat might be the shechting to the 9 days. So if you shechted it beforehand, and then you take it with you, you freeze it, you keep it refrigerated for a few days, some discuss this as a raya that you're allowed to eat it during the 9 days. So they bring the raya here as well. If I brought chemas akum from some community that was mutter with me to a new community where it's now aser, I'm allowed to have that chema since it came from a makum that was mutter. So he says further now, V'hu zal chalak alav mikama tame. Now the Noda Behuda argues on them for many reasons. Chada, number one is de'ika svek sveka lahachmir shema halachak Rashi. I don't remember what Rashi says. I didn't look it up. Vim tim solar kai rash hagam la rash ibay de leib shetehu. The Gemara never answers this question. V'od de lo amrinan kain ella b'midei shenesar mikach zman dumya devari baser nechira ayin sham milsa b'taima. Okay, so he has a whole discussion about different types of Yisurim, Yisur that depends on Zman versus Yisur Chefza. But then says the Pischei Tshuva, Ula Anias Daiti Tama. He's very bothered by the following point. Ani, Madua lo hizkir diver Ramah bekan shekosev. Why do you miss out a mefurish Ramah which discusses this topic of bringing Chema from one area to another area? Aval Asur, the Ramah says, La via imo, you cannot bring Chema from one community that was mutter to a community that's now Asur. De mashma, de af bikia gavna shivi imo, even in this very case. V'hu ochel v'holech v'nitosa biyado Asur. If you have leftover butter from one place where it was mutter, it's Asur to eat in the new place. Im ein b'heker, unless it's a heker. Uledasa maril, afilu yesh b'hekim. The dasa maril, the Ramah quoted in the Yesh Omrim, even if there is a heker that came from the community A, that's going to be that too will be aser in the new community. Umatzasi b'tshuvas beis Ephraim mechelik yardei etzim lamentes shehirgish b'zeh. He also had picked up on this. The cost of the chalik, he thought there was a distinction between the Ramah and the case that the Nodbud was dealing with. The nidon haramah, the Ramah's case is kevan de ikar diraso kavu b'makom shenagu iser pshita de lomani masha yamoter b'derech harayim. The guy moved to a new community, so then he takes on the new Isurim. That's for sure, that's what Ramah's talking about. That's where it's Asur to have a butter brought from a previous place. But the question of Yehuda is talking about a case where he was just visiting community B. He's not taking on the practices, so maybe in that case he is able to bring with him the butter that was mutter from community A, because he's just staying over the night here in community B. That's why it's a whole nother discussion.
Isn't like 30 days?
They're different things, 30 days versus a year. The taxes and stuff, the Gemara's talk about this be ir nedachas, what makes you part of that community. Different things. Now, so just some applications here. I forced discusses about, now we completed the discussion of milk, cheese, and butter. So he points out, like he does in all the cases, that what they discussed back then of milk, butter, and cheese, certainly things that are processed, is not as simple now as it was back then. Back then, for the most part, it was simply they took milk and let it go through the process, turned into cheese and butter. But nowadays, no product is as simple as it may seem, because butter is not necessarily plain butter. It may have other additives, such as preservatives and flavorings, which is going to change everything. So you have to, even though you may not require the Gvinas Yisrael or Chemas Yisrael, you could have Chemas Akum, you still have to ascertain that all the different additives and preservatives are all kosher. So he said some common additives that are used here is whey and lactic acid, which have to be added and need to make sure that they come from things that are Chalav Yisrael, not Chalav Akum. So that's what he points out, number one, in terms of butter. So it has to have a kosher symbol on it.
Kosher.
Exactly, kosher. Right.
It used to be correct. AA butter. U.S. AA butter was good without anything.
Uh-huh. I didn't see anything here. I imagine for a Moshe, though, who says everything's Chalav Yisrael, everything's from cow milk, so, but you still need to make sure that any of the additives are, the ingredients have to be kosher as well. Yeah, exactly. We don't know what's added, but we assume something's added into those.
Yeah.
So you always need to OU and everything.
Point, right? You said
Rav
just said something like that.
Yeah.
That they add, that there's a hishkacha on the milk is for stuff
That's why I thought. I don't hear. Rav Shachter didn't say that to me, but that's why I assume. That's what the need for it is. So same thing with butter and cream cheese. You need to have an OU or some stamp on it, even though it may not be considered Chav Yisrael to all standards. Now, with regards to cream, so the cream, they point out, they question whether or not cream, such as sour cream or heavy cream or sweet cream, whether it's similar to butter and not part of Chav Akum. So there are now three categories. There's milk, there's cheese, and there's butter. So now you have to figure out other types of milk derivatives. Is it considered a category of butter, which there are more leniencies, or is it a type of cheese or milk? So cream cheese, there's a big discussion. When it comes to ice cream, apparently ice cream is made mostly from milk. It's not considered a cream, they say. It's just milk that gets frozen. So that would fall under whatever rules you have under Chalav Yisrael, Chalav Akum. So I would imagine, according to Rav Moshe, that everything's going to be, everything's Chalav Yisrael for him. But you have to make sure any of the additives and the flavors are still going to be kosher.
Regular milk, isn't it butter? What do they eat? Let's say regular milk.
What are you talking about?
Let's say you go to North Dakota.
I have no idea. I have no idea what they added.
You mentioned about being going away and having been more mako.
To have you say without hashgacha at all?
You want to get the bottle milk.
I don't know. I don't know.
As long as it says U.S. grade, U.S. grade.
I don't know.
Grade. No one would be the same thing from Russia.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Not sure.
No, but that would not the skim milk, the whole milk.
Regular
milk.
USDA
milk.
Yeah. Skim milk. Should be
fine.
Could be. I don't know. Okay, I gotta try. I don't know. It could be. I have no idea. I don't know what goes on in the milks, so I can't answer.
Well, that's the whole point of Ramosha's Shuvah.
So then the question becomes, why do you ever need an OU in any milk?
Ramosha's Shuvah was before there was an OU.
No, so why now? Right. What's the OU adding to anything then?
Ramosha's Shuvah, there was no national conscious organization. There was nobody watching dairy farms or in North Dakota.
Right.
Right? So you were able to drink the milk. That was the whole point of the sugar.
Right, so then the question becomes, so what does OU accomplish now on these milks? It's just unnecessary then.
They're accomplishing...
The tax.
What?
They accomplish the same thing as water.
What is hashgacha in the water?
Because it all started out because one hashgacha decided to give it to water. So then the other ones gave to water. It used to be never water didn't need hashgacha.
Could be.
So they're making money, we're also making money. So he was a money maker.
Yeah. Like the first group off the first.
Okay. Now.
I'm not eating it.
The discussion of yogurt is also a debate whether yogurt has the same status as butter. Powdered milk is a whole other discussion. There are some who permit powdered milk because that too, you can only make powdered milk from kosher milk. You can't make it from the same idea we've been saying, cheese and milk. So that's a whole other machlokas. There's a lot of marmakomos here.
Yogurt is like milk.
Yogurt, they say here, there's a question whether it's like milk or whether it's like butter. Because it's been processed a little bit. I don't know. It goes a whole thing here that if you take yogurt and you take more yogurt and take more yogurt and you keep making a process, by the fourth level, the fourth stage, it's considered a Chalav Yisrael according to all standards. I don't know how this process works. Again, as is, I think, coordinating a trip to these dairy farms, right? You're working on that?
Wisconsin.
Okay, fine. So, okay.
I'm a chutana in Milwaukee.
Okay, so.
Well, in Milwaukee, you don't need to go to dairy.
Ephraim will work on the Kiveret Tzadikim and you'll work on the dairy. You're thinking the same thing, Ephraim. Okay. Okay. And then the final point is about dairy equipment. What the status of dairy equipment is. For those who keep Chalav Yisrael, whether or not they should be concerned of dairy equipment of people who use Chalav Stam, let's say. So what he, Rai Forrest, writes down here is that many products are made of power of ingredients only, but are produced in equipment that's used for dairy, right? Dairy equipment. So there is a shaila whether or not one who drinks Chalav Yisrael may use the products made in dairy equipment. So let's say, for example, Oreos. Oreos apparently is dairy equipment, even though it says D and dairy on them. It used to say DE, which was dairy equipment. It got a bit confusing for the consumer, so they took off the DE and just put dairy on.
But why is it any less confusing?
It's not dairy. I agree. So I think they assume that everyone's going to assume it's dairy now, and then it's dairy.
Okay. Yeah. The Oreos, everybody says, oh, it's the Oreos. You don't have to pay attention. It's not dairy. It's really
right,
dairy.
So now people know. But that's not their responsibility. We're calling it dairy, and you should treat it as dairy. The fact that people know the inside information that's really dairy equipment, they're confusing themselves. So, okay, whatever the that's Oreos. And
that was confusing. DE makes sense.
Yeah, but people didn't know what DE meant. People thought DE meant you could eat with meat.
It's like a pea. What do you
eat? You have to tell me. I know what it means. I know what it means. But other people would think they. Okay, people eat that they would eat Oreos with meat. So that'd be cause the big problem. Apparently, that's why they changed it. You ever try steak and Oreos? It's a nice combination. Crumb it up a little bit and dip the chicken and eggs into cookie crumbs. So people got confused, so they changed it. Either way, so Oreos would be a great example of dairy equipment that's chav stam. So a person who's makbid on chav Yisrael, is he allowed to eat Oreos? So it depends on how you view Rav Moshe's Chalv Stam Heter. If you view Rav Moshe's Chalv Stam Heter as really something that's incorrect, which means you think that it's actually treif to a certain extent, not real treif, but it's bechlal the iser of a Chalv Akum, that means all the pots would be treif as well. If you assume Rav Moshe's Heter is correct, that you're just machmir because you're Baal Nefesh, so you want to keep Chav Yisrael to the extreme, so then you would not view the pots of such people as being treif at all. What Rav Forrest writes is, he thinks common custom is to be lenient in these two cases, but he does bring a whole slew of footnotes here who discuss that maybe there's room to be machmir. Rav Moshe quotes Rav Moshe Tshuva Yordea Chelek Dalad, which I think is in Chelek Ches, which again, unclear what's behind that Rav Moshe, but who's machmir. But Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, among others, were very makel with regards to dairy equipment of Chalv Stam for those who are machmir on Chalv Yisrael. Okay, so we'll stop here. We'll pick up Mirz Hashem next week, Monday night. We will, the next Siman Kuf Tazayin is Dvarim HaAsur Mishum Giloy. Tuesday night, I'm not around. We have that Tu B'Shvat thing. So those who want to come could come.